All right, Callahan and Torty starting hour number two this week in pro football. 97.5, the Fanatic, live from the fabulous Parks Casino Sportsbook in Bensalem, PA. And we got a guy coming on the phone. Can I do it right
do it
here
the proper
for
way.
Once?
Yes.
Yes, here to talk about this weekend's Eagles matchup. Former Eagle linebacker Gary Cobb, who also co-hosts the Fox 29 Eagles pregame live and the G. Cobb Birds Report weekly podcast, presented exclusively by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, backed by the number one casino in PA. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Good morning, Gary Cobb.
How you guys doing this morning?
All right, Gary. Listen, I want to get started here, and we may have touched on a little bit of an issue at the very end of the first hour, and that is about player safety. And I made, I guess, a rather striking comment that I think the players are responsible for player safety, and you can't legislate it from the top down. So first, let me get your thoughts on that. Am I right there, or is it even possible for the league to somehow mandate that everybody play this game in a safer fashion?
Well, I definitely think the players play a key role in it, and that's why the league tries to promote, look, you know, you should be thinking about the guys you're playing against. I mean, you don't want certain things done to you, so you need to think about everybody's well-being. But, you know, guys get caught up into the game, though, and they're just going, you know, I don't think Vontaze Burfict, I think he's just off the charts, but you know, you get caught up in the competitive nature of the game, and so sometimes things happen. I mean, it is a violent sport, so injuries are going to occur. Guys are going to get hit in the head, but I think that it's definitely they're trying to steer things to where they're less head injuries. Guys don't play utilizing their helmet as a weapon, and I think that has reduced. Because it used to be a thing. I mean, I knew I was always out. I want to get the big hit, which was the helmet on somebody's chin, you know? So I definitely think this, you know, it's going to take a while, you know, to get some of these things out of the game, less head injuries and guys not using the helmet as a weapon. But right now, I think that, they're doing the best they can, but I know the league is ultimately responsible. So a lot of the guys that are on the committee that are making these decisions are a lot of former players, some great players, but it's nearly an impossible situation to get things done immediately. It's going to take some time.
All right, but Gary, you just said the league is ultimately responsible. And what I'm asking you is, why is the league ultimately responsible for Donovan Jones on Tampa Bay after Marcus Peters picks that ball off and runs in the end zone? Now, Jones literally tries to decapitate him inside the end zone. I mean, why isn't that Donovan Jones' fault, not the NFL's fault?
It is Donovan Jones' fault, but the league has to penalize him in order to, you know, it's just like, you know, policing a city. You know, you got to have laws. Now, ultimately, the city can't, you know, make sure every citizen is lawful, but they can't penalize them when they do break the law. I mean, you know, when you got all those guys out there on the field, there are going to be times when a guy does something like, I mean, that was a shot there, man. I didn't think they talked about it enough. I mean, what a shot that Marcus Peters got hit with once he got in that end zone. I mean, you know, and a lot of times offensive linemen deliver shots like that because they're not used to tackling people,
right,
you know. And
right.
But that was a lethal shot, man. I was going like, man, I was shocked that he got up so
quick. I know. So G. Cobb, obviously Gary Cobb joining us here on This Week in Pro Football. We'll turn quickly to the Eagles. I don't know about you. I found it tough to talk about this game just because it seems to be kind of an open and shut situation. Is there something that you've noticed as you've watched and you're previewing the game, checking things out, that the Eagles should be concerned with regarding the New York Jets on Sunday?
Well, I think it's the Jets' defense. I mean, they are very good at getting turnovers. And they've scored more points than their offense. So I think that's the thing that concerns you, is that if you do turn the ball over, they are going to play for turnovers. And they've got a good defense. They've got some outstanding players. When you got somebody like Jamal Adams, their safety, their Pro Bowl safety, I mean, he's as good as any safety in the game. And they're probably going to have him matched up against Zach Ertz. And they're going to try to take Zach out of the game with Jamal Adams. And the Eagles are probably going to have to look elsewhere. I mean, they're not going to not throw the ball at all to Zach. But they know that they got better opportunities other places. So that'll be interesting, that matchup there. C.J. Mosley is an excellent linebacker. Leonard Williams is an outstanding young defensive lineman. So they've got some good players. It's just that they play basically a bend but don't break defense. They're going to give you short things. They try to take away the big play. So the Eagles have got to take care of the football. Carson's got to continue to play the way he is. Now, I will say Carson is playing great football. He's seeing the field very well. He's not trying to do too much. I love the way in the game against the Packers where he ran, used his legs down in the red zone, but he slid when the tackles got near him. That way he takes care of his health, and he's able to utilize his legs as well, but he's always looking to throw the ball first, and it just seems like he's seeing everything very well. So I think that he's going to take care of the football, move the ball against the Jets. They should be able to score. But it's going to take marching down the field. The Jets are going to try to take away the big play. So I think that the key is going to be taking care of the football. If they do that, they should be able to stop the Jets, because Luke Falk, I mean, the guy's got a weak arm. He's not that much of a quarterback. But, you know, you can talk about their third-string quarterback. And, you know, you stop Le'Veon Bell by putting all the people in the box, and you should be – it should be a job you should be able to do. So even though you look at the Eagles secondary, I tell you, there are guys in the Eagles secondary that most of the fans, Eagles fans, couldn't even identify. People, you know, like Craig James, who made the big play in the last game. Ryan Lewis. Who is Ryan Lewis? You know? And then, you know, you've also got Orlando Scandrick back there. So you got... you got people that weren't on the football team at the beginning of the season. So,
You got Luke Falk out there. Hey, I think that could be Orlando Bloom in the Eagles secondary, and I just can't get worried about it, Gary. I don't know. I would ask you, as a veteran guy, a guy who played on three teams but was a respected veteran in the locker room, if you're on the Eagles now, and you have a game tomorrow against a team that I just can't imagine the Eagles. You know, they've never lost to the Jets. They're 10-0 against the Jets in the history of the franchise.
How about that?
But you have this crucible coming up, Gary. We got three road games, three tough venues. How do you keep your younger guys even focused on a game like this tomorrow?
Well, the big thing you want to do is you want to talk about having a fast start. You want to come out there and jump on this team. And as a team, you'd like to be putting in subs at halftime, you know, where you don't, that game is over. And that's the way they got to be thinking. They want to come out and jump on the Jets and be thinking of playing good football at the start of this game. Because if they do play well, you know, the game will be over by, you know, the halftime of the third quarter. So that's what they want to think of doing, because the Jets are not a good football team. But, you know, the Eagles just need to play the way they're capable, and they'll get this thing over with rather quickly. But if you let them stay around, then, you know, you got excitement you don't want to happen. So the big thing is getting off to a fast start, and this Eagles offense needs to get off to a fast start, because they're going to need it when they got the Vikings and the Cowboys and these other teams that are coming up. So this is really a game where they want to start elevating their play, and I think the offense is well on their way to doing it. The defense, though, they've got some work to do, and it's good that they're playing the Jets.
Gary, are you prepared now for your official This Week in Pro Football prediction for the game tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about this game. I think the Eagles are prepared, even though they got the injuries they have. You know, I see, like, a 27-6 game.
All right.
I don't think they're going to have a lot of trouble with the Jets. And I think this team is ready to take the step to the next level. And I love the way Carson's playing. So I see them being sharp. come out, jump on the Jets quickly, get it over. But yeah, 27-6, I see. And of course, if anybody wants to hear the details of it, they can check out the G. Cobb Birds Report, the podcast, which is available on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. And make sure you check it out, because we talk about the previous game that was just played, and we also talk about the upcoming game. So you get a lot of information about what's happening with these teams and what's going on with the Eagles if you check out the my podcast.
All right, and you're also the host of Fox 29 Eagles Pregame Live, which is on tomorrow. And we look forward to watching that too, Gary. So thanks a lot for coming on. And when the Eagles start this crucible of games starting next week, we'll really look forward to your comments on that, all right?
I hope they're ready for it. And if anybody can play cornerback, give the Eagles a call.
All right, Gary. Thanks a lot for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. There he is, Gary Cobb, former Eagles linebacker, joining this week in pro football. Feels good about the game, 27-6.
Yeah, I think that's a good number. But, I mean, I don't know about worrying about the Eagles secondary. Am I? You worried about? I mean,
yes,
you are.
Yeah, the Eagles secondary. Yeah,
I mean for tomorrow.
Maybe. Look, here's the thing. I don't think that the Eagles are in all of. Let me put it this way. I don't think the Jets are in all that different a position than, say, the Steelers, right? Where it's like, hey, we really kind of like the team that we built and put together, except we don't have a quarterback playing right now. So you've got Mason Rudolph throwing the ball 2 yards down the field, and then in every meaningful, important spot, you've got them running the Wildcat and things like that. I don't think you're that far away from the Jets doing that to try to steal a possession or a game or something like that away. I just don't want the Eagles' secondary, which is probably the most, like, able to be victimized by gadget plays than any team in the entire league.
Yeah, I know. That's what it would take, because they're playing a team tomorrow, Joe, that not only is not bringing much talent, they are bringing a franchise history worth of bad karma to the link tomorrow. And, you know, you're talking about a team that's 60 seasons of New York Jet football. First off, I would ask you, have you ever in your life met anybody who says, boy, I'm a diehard Jet fan? Ever? I mean, I think you got to go to the suburbs of New York, Long Island. That's the only place in the country where there's Jet fans.
I didn't know if you knew my story. No. The best man in my wedding was a diehard Jets fan that abandoned ship.
Really?
He grew up in Brooklyn.
He got divorced?
He said, you know, from the Jets. Yeah. He said, I've seen enough. The butt fumble happened. And he said, Joe, I can't take it anymore. So we had a tribunal. Right. We got together.
That'll do it.
And we said, all right, you can't trade up. What are you going to do? He said, I'm a Washington fan now. Yeah. I said, okay,
oh, my
fine.
God. Oh, my
sign
God.
Up for
you
that.
Talk about a guy. Boy, I hope he doesn't make life choices like he does franchise choices. God's sake. But
that's the only diehard Jets fan that I knew.
In the 60-year history of the New York Jets, they have two coaches with winning records as coach of the Jets. That's Bill Parcells and Al Groh. You know Al Groh, the next Vince Lombardi.
Of course.
They fired Pete Carroll after one season. Now, how do you think that's played out? You know? They have, in their 60 winning seasons, the number of winning seasons, 19 New York Jets. I was surprised it was that many. 19 out of 60 winning seasons.
That is remarkable.
New York Jets. And one Super Bowl appearance. All time, the Jets are 4 games under 500. I don't know. It's just a franchise that got into the NFL, and because they're in New York, they're going to stay in the NFL. But boy, oh boy, there is a legacy of pain comes with being a New York Jets fan.
Well, and they've been victimized as much as anybody by the Patriots' dominance since 2000, because often the Jets have been the second best team in that division, right? So if there's any prayer of winning the division, it gets snuffed out when you're playing against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and everybody else. Because, I mean, the Mark Sanchez era and everything else, they kind of thought that they had something there with Santonio Holmes and Brandon Edwards.
Help us. Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
They thought
they was really on the uptick. They were wrong.
Whoops.
But 610-632-0975. Callahan and Torti here this week in pro football. 97.5, The Fanatic. How about Tyler Zuli? You join us for this, and we look at some quarter poll observations. And we're 4 weeks into the season. I know a lot of people do this, but I could promise you that Torti and I invented it, the concept of a quarter poll look. So let me start off with this, guys. Most surprising team. Now, this could be pro or con. No, let me just say pro. Pro. Most surprising team after the first quarter.
Are we going to have me go first?
Yeah.
Buffalo. I think Buffalo has been a very surprising team early on. I know they lost to New England, but I did not think that the team was going to be anything. I really didn't. Even with Josh Allen, the fact that they've been able to kind of soldier on with him being banged up has been impressive. I think Buffalo has been a very pleasant surprise.
Tyler?
I loved Buffalo's defense, so I'm not as surprised as you, but the play of Josh Allen has been better so far. I'm going to go with the 3-0 San Francisco 49ers because of a quarterback coming off of injury. It's really difficult to sustain top play with a guy coming off an injury. They're 3-0.
Yeah, I know they're 3-0. So what?
Wow, he's not a fan. No, Tyler, I am a fan.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of the 49ers.
Yeah, you guys. I'm not a fan of the 49ers, period. But I know after that crucible of Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, and Ben Roethlisberger, less Pittsburgh, they're 3-0. That's good. Let's give them the Lombardi.
They got the Browns next.
Mine is the Saints. Tyler mentioned it earlier. Saints are 3-1, and they lost Breeze in first quarter of the second game, and it's impressive how they switched from a sling it down the field and outscore you team to a game management, we're going to beat you 16-10 team.
Agreed.
And it's a most disappointing team after 4 weeks. Tyler?
I think the most disappointing team through 4 weeks has to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 1-3. I think a lot of us thought they were going to be a playoff team. Obviously, the injury of Ben Roethlisberger is huge, and it changes the dynamic of things, but I think Rudolph is good enough for this team to move on forward, but the fact that they're 1-3 to start the year is not a good stretch for them.
I think Pittsburgh's objectively the most disappointing team, but I'll pivot inside that division and say the Cleveland Browns, even though they're 2-2, tied for the division lead, they do not look like the barnstormers that a lot of people were hearkening them to be and kind of heralding for them to take over as the new muscle at the top of the AFC North. I'm not sold at all on Cleveland yet, and I think that the fact that they have not really been able to put everything together, especially offensively, has been kind of disappointing.
I would say, and I know this seems wrong, Washington is the most disappointing, only because I don't think anybody foresaw that they were going to be this terrible. I mean, they had put together a pretty good defense. They drafted Haskins. They figure, okay, now they got their starter, and he's going to play. You know, they had a decent, they were getting the running back, Geis, and it looked like they had some weapons, and they're horrible. So, I mean, I think that caught me by surprise, most disappointing team. All right, let me ask you this noticeable trend. After 4 weeks, and I'll give my example so you know what I'm kind of talking about here. What's the most noticeable trend in the league after 4 weeks? And mine is, of course, I mentioned earlier, this quarterback turnover. The fact that the league cannot stop quarterbacks getting hurt, and the fact that one-third of the league is now on a different quarterback than that which opened the season. It's a troubling trend for this league, but I just don't know, Joey, if there's anything more the league could do about it.
The fact that they're continuing, and it's in a variety of ways, right? It's a bone thing here, it's a head thing here, it's an illness thing here. People are hitting hands on helmets. I'm not convinced that Ben Roethlisberger didn't have the elbow injury early on, because he didn't look right against New England either. It's not something that you can, to use your words, and I think good words, legislate out. You know, you can't legislate player safety at the quarterback position, especially. You can't do anything more to protect these guys. They're just going to get banged up. It's the way that it works. But you're right, it is a disturbing trend, and it makes you wonder if more teams now are going to start valuing the backup quarterback position a lot more than they have done in the past.
Yeah, I think we talked about it earlier, but the 2-2 trend of 14 of 32 teams in the NFL being 2-2, or having two wins, I should say. It says to me that there's a ton of parity, but it also says to me that I don't know, outside of the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs on the top end, and then on the back end, the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Redskins, those type of teams on the back end, that there's any really legitimately really good teams this season.
There's only three teams in the NFC with losing records.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's kind of parsing what Tyler just said, you know, and it
right.
Parody. But also, boy, it's an indication that at least in the NFC, boy, you just don't get a lot of blowout. I mean, you're not going to get them, you know. And it's only if you're playing Washington, seemingly. Even Arizona is not an automatic out. You know what I mean? But it's going to be a hard conference to eliminate teams, and secondly, for you to get to the top of it.
And in terms of my noticeable trend, the one that I was looking at in particular is that the teams that run seem to be the teams that win. Like we're seeing that a lot with New England running the ball a ton. Obviously, Baltimore has kind of come back down to earth, but they continue to run the ball a lot. Despite the fact that, oh, it's a passing league and it's a quarterback's league, it still seems that the teams that find ways to run the ball the most continue to have very successful turnouts. And I know that part of it is you're running when you're ahead, and that contributes to some numbers, but some teams that run to get the lead as well seem to be performing at a pretty high clip.
All right, good enough. By the way, Jim McCormick coming up the bottom of this hour, okay, after the next break. So if you got your fantasy questions ready, a lot of injuries, a lot of things to talk about. Jimmy Mack, ESPN guy, give him a call, 610-632-0975. We got a minute here. I just want to ask you guys this. You know, the Pandora's box got open when the league said you can review pass interference, you know, calls or non-calls. There's been 42 challenge flags thrown for it. Only 7 have been overturned. My question is, do you see this evolving now, Joe, given what happened Thursday night with the Clay Matthews hit? Would it make sense then to start allowing coaches to challenge any type of personal foul call like that which we saw Thursday night?
I think that it's possible that that comes to fruition, but I think it's more likely that we kind of see this thing fade back into the background the same way that the lowering the head thing did. You know, I think that it's more of a public posture kind of situation where you can go to the Saints fans and say, hey, stop whining, we're finally doing something about defensive pass interference, just let it go. But if the results have been any indication of the way that things are going to go, they're not overturning anything. Like, it's the rate is so low that they're changing the ruling on the field for pass interference. It's possible that it could be expanded in the way that you say to encompass all personal fouls. I just don't think that it's likely. I think that the league would like to see fewer fouls ultimately as opposed to more fouls.
Lowering the head through 5 weeks, Joey. 12 calls for lowering the head. Versus the 229 offensive holding calls.
Yeah. Not that big of a part of the game at this point.
Yeah.
All right. So that is the take on that. We'll be back with more takes fantasy-wise. I need all the help I can get. I'm sure that Pat Callahan, as he always does, is dominating fantasy-wise. But he'll surely ask Jim McCormick some questions anyway. All of that is coming up when we return. This Week in Pro Football on 97.5, The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, Callahan and Torty back here this week in pro football. 97.5 The Fanatic and the fabulous Parks Sportsbook here at the Parks Casino in Bensalem. All right, Joey T, we're waiting on Jimmy McCormick to show up. If Jimmy doesn't show up, you and I will talk a little fantasy, but for now,
We'll go to Stan in Broomall on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stan, you're on This Week in Pro Football. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
All right, Stan.
Yo, listen, I got to disagree with you on that last take about it not getting worse, because I feel like what's going to happen is going to be different, egregious things happening throughout the league, whether it's an NFC championship game, AFC, Super Bowl, where there's a bad missed hold, you know what I mean, or like you said, a bad missed roughing the passer or roughing the kicker. It's going to be to the point where coaches are going to just tell you, no, let me be able to challenge everything. Because these things happen every single play. I'm watching that Rams and
Seahawks
game. And when Cooks makes that catch late in the game, he was stiff arming the whole defender back. And I'm like, okay, so you can't play defense anymore, right? Is this what you're telling me? And then they challenge it, and they're like, you know, it was a catch. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So I just think it's only going to get worse to the point where I can see a dude like Sean Payton going to Roger Goodell and just complaining, saying, well, my left tackle got chop blocked, or this guy was holding my guy, and this, that, and the third. So I just feel like it's actually going to, like you said, open Pandora's box and become worse because, you know, when you look at it, there's mistakes in pro sports all the time. Nobody's perfect, and people are going to try to, you know, cheat the system a little bit, you know, take advantage. So I just feel like as going forward, you're just going to see coaches going to say, no, open up the whole box. Let me be able to challenge everything and anything. If you want to limit it, that's fine. Go ahead and try to limit it. But you're going to start seeing them being able to say, oh, I challenge if that was a hold. Or I challenge if that was a personal foul. Or I challenge it. Because nobody's going to want to give up any type of, you know, advantage. And if they feel like they can, you know, get something overturned where, oh, now it's going to be 4th and 10. No. Let me throw that flag because I know my guy was getting held. That's a first down now. You know what I mean? So I just worry about that because as long as you have humans in the game, the human element, there's going to be things that are missed. And people just can't really take that. They want the game to be perfect, and now, it's going to be an imperfect sport.
I agree, Stan. I agree. But my solution then, Stan, is stop it all. Stop it all. You
absolutely. No, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, we
agree with that. Just stop it all. But that's the thing. When you have coaches like Sean Payton, who's like one of the biggest babies. Listen, I don't care. I saw that no call hit last year, and I got to be honest with you. I literally laughed. Because I'm so sick and tired of guys like Sean Payton with the whole bounty gate and all that stuff. And I'm like, you got some audacity to sit here and come. No, I don't care.
Long, Joe Torre, he's had enough of it.
Well, or if the phone doesn't work, that's an immediate
Let's say if this guy's phone is working, okay? That is from ESPN and our fantasy guru. That would be the great Jim McCormick. Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
All right, Jim. All right. We got Jim McCormick, okay? All right, Jim, I'm going to hit you right off the shake here, okay? You know, you're a known flex guru. How about Alshon Jeffrey or LeSean McCoy? Who do you like tomorrow?
You know, I think Damian Williams is going to play here. And I think that's a factor. I just think I'd rather go with Alshon. That Jets secondary is really, really bad. And they really obviously don't have an honest pass rusher. So they still have that Todd Bowles kind of thing going. Even though he's gone, they still blitz with them. I just think there's going to be some high-value, high-leverage kind of opportunities for Alshon. I know McCoy is better, kind of theoretically, but Damian Williams is going to come and take a lot of that work. At least split it enough so that it's going to be annoying, right? Because there's the other Williams, too, right? There's the Darrell Williams. So it's going to be a little bit of committee, I think, in Kansas City.
All right. Jim, we've been talking about the fact that the backup quarterbacks have kind of convoluted things in terms of the NFL standings. And obviously, from a fantasy perspective, that's been a little bit of a trying effort as well. If you're in the position now where you still are trying to be in scramble mode after your starting quarterback goes down due to an injury, are there any of these backups that you actually would consider fantasy viable at this point because of their situations?
Yeah, look, Kyle Allen hasn't been terrible, right? Last week was tough at Houston, but theoretically, he's tied to the Christian McCaffrey train, so that's not the worst. I think in general, Gardner Minshew isn't in a great spot here this week in Carolina, but I think in general, streaming still somewhat works. I do a streaming article each week. I know a lot of these, that's not the case. Like you mentioned, there's kind of erosion quarterback, so not as much available pop, but, it's going to be a crazy name to say, but, even Andy Dalton this week, I know he was absolutely terrible last week, but entering that week, he was, second or second in yardage, and, last week you asked, what are some games that we can target, and this week there's not a lot of them in terms of, point total games that stick out. It's really, Atlanta, Houston's at 50, obviously Kansas City is, all their games, that's at 56. But then there's only one more game that's a quality. It's Arizona-Cincinnati, and it's mostly because of the Chip Kelly effect, the cliff effect. They're going to try to run 75, 80 plays, and I just think offense will be up in that game.
All right, Jim McCormick from ESPN joining us here to talk some fantasy football. Let me stick with the quarterbacks. You and I touched on this kind of last week. Why in so many leagues, Jim, is quarterback devalued so much? I mean, I don't know. Are most leagues 4 points for a quarterback touchdown, or are most of them 6 points?
I think standard on a lot of these leagues is when you sign up is 4. Maybe down to 6 now, but I know ESPN's always been 4. CBS is 4. And I think when you do that ratio, you do the value to position. And also, the position in some sense is the value itself in that a lot of leagues only play one quarterback, right? And that sounds traditional, but we play two of everything else. And I understand there's only 32 starting quarterbacks, but that's also true for running back, right? You can't do a committee quarterback. I understand that. But long story short, it's still the single position thing. It's still the fact that,
you're right.
Like I just said, you can get away
Like last week, I picked up Matt Stafford against Kansas City, like in a couple of leagues. He's realistically available in like good leagues. Just, it's like there's a brimming point where there's too much roster space. Like where there's not enough roster space to hold all these quarterbacks. So,
right.
I think that's the issue. I think talk to your league or maybe your side league, make it a super flex, get a second quarterback in there.
Yeah, but I'm saying this to you, both of you guys, is that when you're drafting, I know it's 2 months now, but I mean, just saying, when you're sitting down for a draft and you're saying to yourself, okay, it's a fifth round, there's Russell Wilson sitting there, right? No, I'm not going to pick him because every fantasy guy tells me, don't pick a quarterback to the 10th round.
Well, there is a dupe. I think there is this, like, I think sometimes the advice is poor because, first of all, the way that these expert leagues go, they don't behave normally. And so people, like, get stuck in this because everybody thinks the same thing. Everybody thinks quarterback deep and devalued. But in your real home league, guys will take a stab on quarterbacks earlier. You kind of have to, like, what I think people don't appreciate enough, I guess, is that you really got to react to the context of the market you're in. It's not what you think about fantasy football. It's also what your market thinks. And so, like, I do think Russell Wilson, what I'm trying to say is I think fantasy experts, myself included, have overvalued the position to some extent in that the Pat Mahomes and the Russell Wilson, they are leading your team right now. You are in a much better position than if you waited.
So, Jim, one of the other things that we were talking about, obviously, are the we've been doing quarter poll evaluations and trying to figure out who is overperformed, who's underperformed. Who's somebody who, at this point, has exceeded your expectations and another player who hasn't lived up to them?
Well, exceeded, I mean, I know it's impossible almost to exceed, like, what you think about Christian McCaffrey, but the fact that he's on pace for, like, 2,600 yards is just, like, I think every time, every season somebody has like close to 400 touches, like the natural guess is regression. But I just, you know, I didn't think he was going to be the unequivocal number one player you'd want, and he is. I thought he was more like the fourth or fifth running back you'd want. Like, but now I think if you did a redraft, he'd be number one. Disappointing. I mean, there's been plenty of candidates for this, right? I guess most disappointing would be Devonta Freeman. I know it's a weird one, but he was going at that like 2-3, like he's going in the mid third. And here's a bad stat for him. Edo Smith has 100% of their goal line touches. 100%.
God.
Yeah, the whole selling point for Freeman was kind of unfettered goal line usage. And, you know, he's 27 years old. He's going to be part of this top offense. They got rid of Tevin Coleman. But it turns out that, like, I hate to use this word with athletes, but he might be a little bit washed in terms of just, like, what you're going to get. So I think it's one of these things where a month later, he's like an RB3. And I thought he could be an RB1. So I definitely was wrong there.
Boy, that's interesting. I don't know. There's so many potential fantasy, you know what I mean? Like, candidates for that. You know what I mean?
It's kind of an emotional question too. It's like, what who's hurt you so far?
Yeah, I know. Like a guy like James Conner. I mean, he shows flashes where he's a dominant fantasy player, and then two plays later, he's on the sideline with a bad ankle. I mean,
he's somewhat of a victim of like their style. Like last week, what's his name?
James Samuels. Yeah.
Yeah, he had three wildcat passes. He was the first player since the merger with three catches, three receptions.
Oh, God, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. But, like, I think they're completely overdoing the Mason Rudolph thing. Like, they're overreacting a little bit, doing this small ball thing. But we'll see. We'll see what Coach Speak says. They say they're going to open it up more. But, yeah, Connor's been disappointing.
Yeah. All right. Jim McCormick, ESPN. Jimmy, where does everybody look you up here on ESPN? And it's only a matter of time before you take over from Matthew Berry. So where would everybody find Jim McCormick?
That's right. Every Tuesday, I do a streaming article. Like I just said, I try to recommend players that are pretty widely available. Like last two weeks, I've been beating the Ronald Jones drum. I think it's finally going to happen. He out-snapped Peyton Barber for the first time. That's on Tuesdays. And then all your AFC projections, those little notes, any little jokes in there, they're from me.
There you go. All right, Jim McCormick, thank you very much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There he is. ESPN's Jim McCormick, fantasy analyst. It was thrilling to me to have Devonta Freeman on my bench as my third-round pick, so it was just outstanding to hear.
Good job by you snapping up Devonta Freeman, a guy who's had 31 concussions and who has played zero red zone goal lines.
Very exciting
for the Atlanta Falcons. You are without a doubt. Okay, a shrewd GM. All right, so when we get back, how about you and I do a little NFL preview, huh?
Sounds great. We'll do that, and plenty more show coming your way when we return. 610-632-0975, This Week in Pro Football on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Our mics are hot again, Joey T.
Don't touch.
Yeah, this week in Pro Football 97.5, The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli got done playing his 11 minutes of spots. We get back on the air.
So you think Tyler does it on purpose?
I think Tyler is, the worse he does in the pick segment, the more spots appear on our show. I know that. There's a linear relationship.
That's not true!
All right. Listen, get down here to the Parks Sportsbook here. You can see Dan or Kevin. There's the wheel. Do we have the wheel this time?
Is the wheel here? Oh, prizes.
Prizes.
We're out of prizes. We gave away too many prizes.
All right. Let's get down here. And if you could hear to the sportsbook, we will not give you anything.
No, we'll put you on the waiting list for prizes.
That's right. We'll give it to Tyler. We'll take your name down.
Yeah, don't call us. We'll call you.
But it's a beautiful place. It's
so
already filling up.
It's a blank wheel. It's just sitting across there. We gave away everything.
You can still spin it. I mean, you can still spin it.
I hear the noise. Yeah. Jeez.
Did you know Joey T.
Whoever I am.
Vikings are averaging 169 pass yards a game.
I'd believe it.
In this league, 169. And let me hit you with another one here. Talk about trivia winners here. I mentioned earlier the Eagles have never lost to the Jets in 10 games. There's only one other team the Eagles have never lost to. Who is it?
The Eagles have never lost to. I don't know.
Come on.
How would I know?
How about those Houston Texans? That would be the answer.
Honest to God, that was going to be my shot in the blue guess, but I had no clue. I had no reason for thinking that was correct. I was like, Houston hasn't been around long enough. I have no idea. Houston.
All right. Tyler, how about we pot up a little NFL preview? By the way, Jimmy McCormick was presented by the good folks at Concrete Cutting Systems and the Week 5 NFL preview presented by Evolution Energy. Joey and I, let's take a look at the slate here for this week. Not a ton, Joe. Of what I'd call exciting games. I know you're very excited for that Arizona-Cincinnati tilt. I understand you're gonna commute to Cincinnati to catch that game. I don't know if any tickets are available.
Well, that's the problem, is that I don't know if I'd be able to get in once I get there, so I don't want to get my hopes up to watch the game, so I might just have to sit home and not watch it on television.
I'll tell you, Joe, I have noticed. I don't know if you've noticed it. You know, those crowd shots, those expansive crowd shots that all the networks are so proud of showing before or during games, there are a lot of empty seats in these games.
Well, you notice they're not doing it twice, right? Yeah. They're taking the empty seat shot, and then it's all around the city. It's skyscrapers, the skyline.
I still say, and people that are veteran listeners to this show have heard me talk about this, the NFL better take care of the people that are going to the games. You know what I mean? I know it's all great, with the online and the phones and the this and the that. Boy, they better make sure there's butts in those seats.
Now, there are lots of people selling out still, true, and there are some that are not. I have a solution. Remove some of the seats and put in the big, movie theater-style recliners and things like that. Make
like
it
they
more
have here at the sports book.
Exactly.
They put these sports book seats in there.
And that'll get people in there. Promise it will.
All right. Tampa Bay, are you drinking the Bruce Arians Kool-Aid? Tampa Bay at New Orleans. We've talked about the Saints, and everybody's impressed with them, and they are. The Bucs, 2-2. Jameis Winston, what a streak quarterback he is. Does he keep it going tomorrow?
Yeah, they're going to win this game. They're going to beat New Orleans on the road.
Joey T.
But it has less to do with, the Bruce Arians situation. It's more that New Orleans was getting way up for the Dallas game for a long time. We could tell that was the case. Right. They performed at a high level. Tampa's going to win this game on the road.
I am not drinking that Kool-Aid at all. I don't see Tampa, but I just don't buy it. But maybe it is. It could be a real turning point for Tampa's season. You mentioned, I think it was you or Tyler said, it's a bad division overall.
It is,
This could be a chance for Tampa to get themselves in that wild card race. Baltimore is at Pittsburgh. The Ravens, always a tough out for the Steelers. Now no Ben. Did the Steelers get it on the right track Monday night, or was that an aberration?
They took a step back in the right direction. Still don't love the team, though. Too many things are going wrong offensively that shouldn't be going wrong. The underrated storyline is in the collapse of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The defense, after that week one debacle against New England, has turned into a really, really good pressure defense. They've really gotten things turned around, and Minka Fitzpatrick looks right at home.
Interesting to see how Lamar Jackson does tomorrow.
Yes.
You're right. The defense is coming on in Pittsburgh. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They always have. And we'll see tomorrow if Jackson is, in fact, going to be that guy who can go into one of the toughest venues. And we're going to talk about that with Sal in the top five. One of the toughest venues to play at. Is Jackson going to be able to deliver there? Baltimore, actually, a three-point favorite. One of the only, a couple late games tomorrow. Green Bay at Dallas. This is probably the feature game of the day. Aaron Rodgers going in. And I tell you, he drives the Cowboys nuts. Green Bay, a 3.5-point dog. No Devontae Adams. Do you like them as much as Paul Nolan likes them?
I don't like Green Bay as much, but the thing is that you never know how Dallas is going to respond, right? They haven't responded well in situations where, for instance, they've seen the Eagles breathing down their necks for the division lead. They haven't stepped up in those spots in the past. It's possible that those ghosts emerge here because the Eagles have something of a walkover against the Jets, and you would not call Green Bay a walkover by any stretch. I do like Dallas, though. I just think it's a solid team, even though things didn't go the way that they hoped last week.
I can't think that, and I full disclosure, Zeke Elliott's on my fantasy team, but I just can't. One of these games, he's going to go off for 150 and two touchdowns.
Might be it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking this, even though no Tyron Smith, that's a big loss. But I just think he's going to go off one of these days. And I think Dallas, much better team at home for some reason. I think Dallas wins this game. And Monday night, it's a fun game Monday night. All of a sudden, you got a game where Cleveland has appeared to have righted the ship a little bit. And, you know, you and Tyler, you love yourself some Niners at 3-0. I think this is a pretty evenly matched game here.
You think so?
Yeah.
I do not.
Why not?
I really do see this as a smackdown game at
smackdown
home
for San Francisco. All of a sudden, drinking. You're all in on San Francisco after that murderer's row they opened up with. Tampa, Cincinnati,
train.
And Pittsburgh.
I've been on this train
since when? Preseason?
Yes, since before the season. I said that the Rams were going to take a step back, and I didn't love Seattle. I was wrong about Seattle. But that clearly means that I thought that San Francisco was going to be good in the division. Clearly.
All right. I hope the hell you're wrong. I hope you are wrong. We'll see. But, boy, the last thing I need is for the Niners to be really good again. But, I mean, they've had 10 straight years of top three draft picks.
They got to get it right.
Yeah,
sometime.
Maybe. They finally cumulatively got it right.
Very disappointing you for not highlighting Chicago at Oakland in London. What's up with Jacksonville not getting to go to London now? They've gone every single year. What's up with that?
I don't know. Well, you know what it is. When a team announces that they're moving, part of the deal of the team relocating or getting any kind of stadium financing is the league ships them over to London. That's the truth. That's why the Rams are there every year, and that's why Oakland's going now, is because they're going to Vegas. So,
I see.
And I just think Chicago's going to just put a number on Oakland tonight. And the London games, I don't care. All right?
All right.
So how about it, Joey? Tyler, take it easy on these spots, will you, so we can come back with Sal Palantonio. And we got a lot of other exciting things, Joey, to do in the 11 o'clock hour.
No question about it. We'll be right back after this. 610-632-0975. It's Pat Callahan and Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.